I feel led to discuss the danger of disunity. And what I was saying was it is not because of any particular crisis that I have observed here at Trinity over the past couple weeks. I have definitely observed disunity here. But I want to say that it is not because of a crisis that I have observed over the past week. The Lord has simply laid this on my heart, so I trust that this is needed here today. Amen? Will you please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I saw this week a story about missionaries that went to a very dangerous place. And when they arrived at the place, the pilot told them that they should not go to that place. If they go to that place, they will die. And the missionary looked at the pilot and said, I died before I got here. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart? Will you pray right now that God would speak to you about the sin in your heart? Pray that God would help you humble yourself and be delivered today from the sin in your heart. Will you please pray right now for the other people in this room? Pray for God's mercy upon them, that God would give them a humble and submissive heart, that they would repent, that they would confess their sin, and they would be set free from the sin in their heart. Now would you please take a few moments to pray for me that I would preach Galatians 5 accurately. That is my only concern today, because the accurate preaching of Galatians 5 is the most powerful message I can give today. Please pray for me. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The book of Galatians is a wonderful gift to us. Amen? It teaches us about our freedom in Christ. Our freedom in Christ. Paul writes this incredible book to the church in Galatia. And he tells his readers that they do not need to keep the law to be saved. They do not need to be circumcised to be saved. We are free in Christ. Amen? We are free in Christ. We have been set free from law that we might serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? How is it that we should use our freedom? If we are free in Christ, how should we express our freedom? How should we use our freedom? What do we do with that? Look at verse 13 in our scripture text today. Verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Number one in your notes, we are to serve one another in love. We are to serve one another in love. Look at verse 14. Galatians 5:14. "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." How are we to love our neighbor? As yourself. As yourself. You say, well, that's easy. I hate myself. And a lot of people would say that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I hate myself, so that's really not a big deal. That is a misunderstanding of what the Bible talks about when it says love. Love in the Bible is action. Love in the Bible is service. Love in the Bible is meeting needs. I may hate myself in a self-image type of way, but if I am hungry, I feed myself. If I am thirsty, I provide water for myself, because even if I have a poor self-image, I am totally dedicated to caring for myself. I am totally dedicated to meeting my needs. Number two in your notes. We are called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It's not about self-image. It's about service. Brothers and sisters, God wants to set you free from the bondage of selfishness. God wants to set you free from the bondage of selfishness. That's why we love Jesus, because he sets us free from sin. Amen? That's why we love Jesus. God wants to set you free from the slavery of selfishness and bring you into the holy joy of living a life of sacrificial love. That's what God wants to do for you. He wants to bring you, lead you into the joy of living a life of sacrificial love. That's what he wants you to do. Brothers and sisters, surrender to the Spirit of Christ in your heart and let him lead you to live a life of love. Surrender to the Holy Spirit in your heart and let him lead you to live a life of sacrificial love. Keep your finger in Galatians 5 and please join me in Matthew 22. Very important passage in the Holy Scriptures. Matthew 22, starting from verse 34. And we read this. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asking him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Loving one another is what we are called to do. God wants to set us free from the bondage of selfishness. Selfishness is damage. Selfishness is terrible. Selfishness is not what we want. He wants to lead us into the joy and freedom of sacrificial love. Jesus gives us his new commandment in John 13, 34, behind me on the screen. A new commandment I give to you, love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Is that hard? Yes. But the Holy Spirit in your heart will give you that kind of love. Surrender to the Holy Spirit, and you can enjoy the freedom of living a life of sacrificial love. Let go of your selfishness, and let Christ fill you with love. What happens when we fail to love each other? What happens when we fail to love each other? Go back to Galatians 5, and let's look at verse 15. Many years ago, my dad and I were camping in Alaska. My mom was with us for a small portion of that trip. She doesn't really like camping, but she joined us for a small portion of it. And we got up one morning, we were in a pickup truck with a big, big camper on the back, and we got up one morning, and my mom started to cook breakfast. And she was cooking bacon. And we went out of the truck. We were not completely out of civilization, but we were in Alaska. We were camping in a camping place near civilization. And my dad and I went out in the morning and we're on a hike. And my mom is cooking bacon. And we're hiking around and we come across this sign that says, beware of bears. Do not cook bacon. And we're walking around and you can smell the bacon. And we looked at each other and we ran back to the truck, opened the door, stop! stop cooking bacon. We're all going to die. And we ate all the bacon and threw it away and tried to cover up the scent. It was hopeless. Warning. Warning. Beware of bears. Paul is giving us a warning. Paul is giving you and I a warning, Trinity Baptist Church. Danger to Trinity Baptist Church. There is a danger to Trinity Baptist Church of not loving one another. Look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. The picture is of wild animals fighting. How do we bite one another at Trinity Baptist? How do we devour one another at the church? It is when we tear each other down with our words, with our attitudes, with our actions. It is when we tear each other down. Trinity Baptist Church, we are called to build each other up. I need you. I need you. You need me. The Christian life is difficult. I can't do it on my own. I have become a part of this church. You have become a part of this church because you need encouragement. You need fellowship. You need support. We must build each other up. You can go out into the workplace and get bitten and devoured and consumed all day long, and you will. You can go to school and get bitten and devoured and consumed all day long, and you will. Tragically, some of you can go home and get bitten and devoured and consumed all day long. This has to be a safe place. If you bite and devour one another, you will consume each other. You will destroy each other. Look behind me on the screen. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Look at this statement. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Edification means build up. Love builds up. Look at another verse behind me. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. Edification means building others up. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for building others up according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. Look at 1 Thessalonians behind me. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Verse 15 of Galatians chapter 5 says, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. This Greek word consume is analisko. Analisko. It means to destroy. Look at how it's used in the book of Luke. Same word, consume. Time you got that? Luke 9. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him, but they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? He turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. We're just like James and John. We're just like James and John. Someone crosses us and we fire right back. Poor Jesus. He's walking through there and he's not received. And James and John want to call down fire. And he says, that's not what I'm about. And we're the same way. Someone attacks us, someone is rude to us, someone is unkind to us, and we want to fire right back. We have all heard tragic. We have all heard and seen of tragic situations in churches where the members fight, where the members quarrel, and sometimes the church is damaged, and sometimes the church is destroyed. Paul is warning us, brothers and sisters, Paul is warning us, if you bite and devour one another, you will destroy each other. If we continue to gossip, if we continue to slander, if we continue to fail to love one another, if we continue to treat each other in anger and pride and selfishness and bitterness, if we bite and devour one another, we will destroy each other. How are you treating your other brothers and sisters in Christ? How are you treating your brothers in Christ? How are you treating your sisters in Christ? Did you ever consider that their life is hard? That they need encouragement? Did you ever consider that if you are unkind to them, that if you gossip about them, that if you slander them, that if you are unloving toward them, did you ever consider that that dear brother for whom Christ died, did you ever consider that that dear sister might become discouraged in their Christian walk and stop coming to church? Did you ever consider that they might become discouraged and fall into temptation and fall into sin? We need each other. We need each other. The Christian life is hard. And you're part of this church. And I'm part of this church. And we're all part of this church because life is hard. And we need each other. We need to encourage each other. In your notes. Have you got it there, Tom? Number three. If we bite and devour each other, we will destroy each other. What's the alternative? What is the alternative? Paul says, if you bite and devour each other, you will destroy each other. Look at verse 16 in our passage today. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What is the solution? Paul says, if you bite and devour one another, you're going to destroy each other. But walk by the Spirit, and you won't do that. Number four in your notes, we must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our relationships with each other. We must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our relationships with each other. Look at verse 19. Paul talks about the deeds of the flesh. 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 20 gives us a list of things that damage our hearts and things that damage the church. Verse 20 talks about enmities. Enmities. What is that? Enmity is hatred. Our world is full of hatred. Our world is full of hatred. There is hatred between races. Hatred between countries. Hatred between neighbors. Hatred between co-workers. Christ has unified us. There is no place for hatred at Trinity Baptist Church. There's no place for hatred here. Do you have an attitude of hatred toward your Christian brother? Do you have an attitude of hatred toward your Christian sister? Surrender that to Christ and let him clean the trash out of your heart. Hatred is trash in your heart. You don't want that there. You don't want that there. Remember when we studied this passage and I had my trash can up here? That's what hatred is. It's trash in the heart. Jesus wants to clean you up. Jesus wants to clean me up. Surrender that trash to Christ and let him fill you with love. The next one is strife. Enmities, strife. Strife is rivalry, fighting, quarreling. This existed in the church in Corinth. Look behind me on the screen. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind, in the same judgment. Take a look at this beautiful verse in Romans 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Are you divided from another brother or sister? Is there an issue between you and another Christian? Let the Lord Jesus Christ clean the strife out of your heart. Let the Lord Jesus Christ clean the strife out of your heart. Have you ever seen a mature Christian person who is filled with the Holy Spirit get in a fight with someone else? It's amazing. A mature Christian person who is led by the Holy Spirit, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead their life. I have seen a brother come up to that guy and he's all mad and the guy is smiling. I'm so sorry. How can I serve you? How can I love you? I'm sorry about that. How can I make that right? And you can just see the joy in that person's heart. Let me ask you a question. Who's happier? This guy? Or this guy over here who's just, I'm sorry. I love you. I'll be praying for you. Is there somebody I can serve you? This guy is filled with joy. This guy has been set free. This guy's in bondage. Which person do you want to be? Which person do you want to be? The world teaches us, oh, you got to stick up for yourself. What a terrible lie. The world just wants you in bondage. Jesus wants you to experience the joy of love and forgiveness and unity, and it's awesome. And it's there for you. It's there for you. The next word in Galatians 5:20 is jealousy. Jealousy. Is that right? Is that the next word? Enmity, strife, jealousy. Somebody got Galatians 5? Enmity, strife, jealousy. Okay. Lost my place for a second. Jealousy is the result of selfishness and pride. Jealousy damages relationships in the church. Jealousy damages relationships in the church. Leadership struggles are the result of jealousy. Here's a question for you. Do you have jealousy in your heart? Do you have jealousy in your heart toward your brother in Christ? Do you have jealousy in your heart toward your sister in Christ? Let Christ clean that trash out of you. The next thing is outbursts of anger. Outbursts of anger. Keep your finger in Galatians and just turn a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 4 and join me there, would you please? Ephesians 4. Beautiful passage. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, building others up, according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Our chief of police here in India, Richard Twiss, is a wonderful Christian man. I hope you are praying for him on a regular basis. He has a very difficult and challenging job. He's a great Christian, and he has his Bible on his desk, and he generally has it open to this verse behind me, James 1:19. This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Aren't you glad that God is slow to anger? Look at Exodus 34. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. If you realize how patient God is with you, you could be patient with other people. Often we let bitterness fester in our hearts, don't we? You ever get mad at someone else, another Christian brother, another Christian sister, and you just think about what they've done, and you think about what a jerk they are, and you might even have an imaginary argument with them? You ever go through that? It's bitterness in your heart. It might even be malice in your heart. You can't let Satan do that to you. You can't let Satan fill your heart and your mind with that stuff. Look at your notes, number 5. Division in the family of God is the result of trash in our hearts. Division in the family of God is the result of trash in our hearts. Jesus has a better way. Jesus has a better way. You're in Ephesians now. Turn over just a couple pages to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Let the Lord Jesus Christ clean the trash out of your heart and replace it with the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. Turn back to Galatians 5 and look at these beautiful words. Look at these beautiful words. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How does this apply to you? How does this apply to you? Are you absolutely convinced that Jesus is right? Are you absolutely convinced that Jesus is beautiful? Are you absolutely convinced that all that Jesus is good and beautiful, and all that he is not is ugly and corrupt? Are you absolutely convinced that Jesus is beautiful and good, and that what you want in your heart is everything that he gives? Be committed. Be absolutely committed to building these qualities into your life. Allow the Holy Spirit, surrender to the Holy Spirit, that he will build these qualities into your life. I never met my mom's dad. Never met her. Never met him. He was a Baptist pastor. Imagine that. Baptist pastor all his life. Wanted to be a missionary to China. Wanted to be a missionary to China and never was able to because of his health. But he died before I could meet him. And one day I was sitting with my mom and I said, Mom, what was your dad like? What was your dad like? I'll never, ever, 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 ever forget. She gave me one sentence, and she was done. She didn't talk on and on, tell me stories. She gave me one sentence, and that was her entire answer, and she didn't say anything else. I said, what was Grandpa like? And she said, he was the kindest, gentlest, most loving man I've ever met in my life. Jesus can do that for you. I pray he does it for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit take complete control of our hearts. Clean out the trash and fill us with the treasure. In Jesus' name, amen.